Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of Matthew. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Let's move on to verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, you know, comb your hair, that kind of thing, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You know, in the Old Testament times, New Testament times, we find fasting as something that's a biblical concept for believers. It's great, good thing. Because the Lord wants to, in doing this, set us free from the fleshy appetites that we have. You know, really, the things of the flesh. And so it's awesome. Again, what was the problem here is the same as each time. It's that they're drawing attention to themselves and wanting to display a false form of spirituality. And so that's what's going on. And we want to guard against that. We want to see this for what it is. And we want to walk in the newness of life. And then he goes on in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And again, this is talking about our finances. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus puts forth something very interesting here, doesn't he? It's a truth for us to contemplate and for us to really kind of put into our minds and think about regarding finances and investments. The thing that's interesting is God put the ore in the earth. God put the oil there. God put the ore there. It's all God's design. It's all his, ultimately. God's not broke, is my point. God's not broke. And yet so many times he's purported as, you know, oh, the ship's going to sink. You know, we're not going to be able to follow through with what God really wants to do. Well, does God really want to do it then? That's the question. Does God really want to do it? And a lot of times I think if they just let the ship sink, that's what it'd do, and that'd be that. And we'd all be better off. We wouldn't have to listen to all that kind of trash all the time. Because God's not broke. I think it's a false misrepresentation of God. My dad's got plenty of money and plenty of resources. He's got things way beyond anything that we could ever imagine or fathom. He's able to do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it, because he is God. I believe that. I absolutely believe that. But if he's saying this, is God wanting me? Why does he want my money then? Again, think about the liberating concept, be free. It's about liberating us. He's wanting to teach us something about it. You see, it's something that we spend time, a lot of time, committed to gathering. You know, large oak trees have a lot of large leaves. And you get out and you have the rake and, whew, man, it seems like in the fall, man, you're just raking leaves, you know? It's a lot of time invested. Now, it's just leaves. But money's a lot like leaves in that sense. You know, you're just trying to gather it up. You know, you go out and you spend hours raking it up, you know. The wind comes, the leaves blow again if you didn't get it bagged up, you know. It's just this constant thing that you got to go out and deal with. Well, a lot of times, you know, working and trying to engage this to gather in resources and all this, it's the same kind of thing. You put a lot of effort into it. God knows that, and God wants to set you free from you, because when we put effort into it, we become selfish. We think it's all ours and it's all about us, and God's wanting to set us free. Just set us free from that. You know, how many of you have ever invested? Well, we have selfish and stingy nature, and he wants us to be set free from our selfishness, really, is what it all boils down to. But how many of you ever had invested please don't raise your hands, but in like a stock or anything like that, or you have stocks or some of these things that you've investments. You know, maybe your company's got a 401k plan. I don't know what all you got or what you don't have, but I'm just saying, whatever it is, have you ever done this? I'm not going to go into that story. I have done this before, where I've invested in IPOs, initial public offerings, you know, and where it's this first time out on the public thing. And so I know it's kind of a neat deal. You know, I find it fascinating. But man, it is a bondage thing. Dude, I'm telling you. And this is before I read this was a lot of years ago, several years ago. And so I wasn't really into the computer thing or anything. And man, I couldn't wait to get the Wall Street Journal down at the library. And it was always a stinking day late down there. This was down in Joplin, you know, anyhow. Takes a while for news to get there, you know. But anyhow, that's a whole other story. But anyway, I get in there and I sit in the library and I'd be trying to thumb through there and try and find this, you know, one particular stock that, you know, I had a decent little piece of change on. I followed that thing, man. I followed that thing closely. Why? Because I had invested in it. Something of mine was there and I wanted to see what was happening with it. God knows that about you and about me. And he knows if you invest in him, he's going to get your heart too. Isn't that cool? God knows how weird we are in that sense because he made us this way. But he knows that you're going to follow that. And he wants your heart. He says, man, invest in me. I'm going to get your heart too, and you're going to be blessed. It's a win-win deal with the Lord. God's going to honor it, God's going to bless, and God gets your heart, and we're closer with the Lord. It's just an awesome concept. He knows that you're going to follow wherever you put your treasure. Let's go on. The lamp of the body, what an interesting concept. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, your view, you know, looking through things, it's part of how you see things. The eye gives direction to the body, you know, it processes stuff, goes into your brain, sees things, it processes things, tells you what to do, you know. So it goes in there and comes back out and processes something. Well, the same thing's true on a spiritual sense. You know, you see things, how you perceive things, and how you take it in. And then you take it in and that focus, where is the focus of our lives? And it sets in motion and gives direction to the rest of our lives. So the way, what we're focusing our thought or our attention on, that place that we've set our focus on, gives direction to the rest of your life and to my life. And here, interesting, in Proverbs 28:22, a man with an evil eye, and this is interesting, and it follows suit with what he's just been talking about, because he says, a man with an evil eye, if your eye is evil, so what's an evil eye? I mean, I think I've gotten those a few times before, but I'm not sure exactly what he means here. An evil eye hastens after riches, material gain, things of just this world, and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. What type of poverty? I don't know. Is it just financial poverty that's going to come upon him? I don't know. All I know is that an evil eye is clearly stated here as one who seeks after riches. In other words, setting our minds on just the things of this world, the things that really ultimately are going to perish. So living or setting our sights on or our focus is on things or riches, and it ultimately then leads to darkness. So materialism, basically, is what he's talking about. Just materialism itself, setting our sights on those things, it's going to lead us into darkness. It's going to lead us away from the light. And again, and we know that it's true that it's not having things that's a problem. It's not having them. It's that being the intent and focus of your life, you see? That thing that you're just set on. And it ties right in with what he was just talking about, which is pretty awesome. And then he also makes it clear, the thought here is that trusting in them and living to get them, that's really the problem. Trusting in them and living to get them. That's the biblical problem with resources in that sense. And also in Proverbs 23, verse 4 and 5 says, do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? Because see, riches are like the pile of leaves and when the wind blows hard. For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away like an eagle toward heaven. That which we so, I mean, things can change so quick, can't they? Brothers and sisters, things can change fast in our lives, you know? And that which we've counted on, what is it that we're to count on? We have one rock, Jesus Christ. We count on the rock. We build our house on the rock. We trust in Jesus Christ, in him alone. We let him lead us and provide for us, and then we just trust him. And God takes care of the situations. It's so important to be careful. Because he goes on, he says now here in verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either will he hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, so this isn't that we can't have our regular jobs that we do and serve the Lord in it. That's not what he's saying, is it? That's not what he's saying. It's saying that mammon is a master. God is a master. Lord Jesus, Lord is a title giving him mastery over our lives. We're saying, Lord Jesus, we're saying, you're the master of my life. I'm acknowledging that. And so when we look at it this way, mammon is also a master, and it's a pagan god, again, of materialism. You know, just the things of this world. And boy, you know what? When you look back at it and you think about that seriously, what a rigorous taskmaster that is. Mammon, what a rigorous taskmaster, just trying to get things. Oh my goodness, we'll burn out our health, our bodies, our minds. We'll end up just spinning a bearing because we've just, you know, too much going on. All for filthy lucre. I like the old King James on that one, filthy lucre. I just really like that. Think of the things we do for filthy lucre, you know, just for money. The things that people do. Oh my. What a rigorous taskmaster. And it will use you up and then it'll just spit you right back out. And so the focus again here is, hey, serve the Lord. The Lord's a good master, isn't he? He's gracious towards you. He's gracious towards me. He loves us. He proved his love for us through his son, Jesus Christ. And again, what is the theme here? Be free. Be free. Don't be caught up with that master. Got a great master who wants to set you free. What a great concept. Man, you know, there was on a many years, it's an older movie, but on an older movie that I like to watch every once in a while when I need a good yuck, you know, I need a good laugh, good yuck, a good laugh. I need to laugh it up a little bit. I like to bust out good old What About Bob? And, you know, it kind of ties into this in an interesting way because, you know, Bob had a lot of problems. And this person, this doctor that he was seeing, ultimately he gets up and he's badgering his doctor so much. Finally, his doctor just, and I think the Lord would do this for us. We're like a bunch of Bobs, really. And he just, I think the Lord would write us this kind of prescription. You're free from your worries. You know? Take a vacation from your worries. Take a vacation from your problems, Bob. Have a great trip. Get out of here. Get out of my life kind of a thing. Except the Lord wouldn't be like that to us. But take a vacation from your problems. You know, let's read through this and just think about that. It's an interesting concept. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. I mean, this is Jesus talking. This is Jesus talking to the disciples and the crowds around there, and he's just kind of sharing this, and he says, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? And yet, what are we consumed with? Oh, my, be honest. Be honest. Worry is a torturous thing, really. And it's really rooted, I believe, in fear. I think worry is totally rooted in fear. And what do we know that the Bible talks about that dispels fear? Our faith in Jesus. Faith dispels fear. Ultimately, then, it would relieve anxiety by trusting God. Faith dispels fear. So think about this as we go through. And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? We can't make ourselves taller or we can't do anything. It's so limited. In other words, it's more out of your control than what you think anyway. So why do you worry about clothing? Just, man, go check it out. Go walk around. Look around at the things that are around. You consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And look at how beautiful they are. And yet Solomon in all his glory isn't arrayed like one of these. So man, look, check it out. Look at the beauty that's out there. And man, it doesn't even compare. Verse 30, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. What do you mean thrown into the oven? Well, that's how they started their ovens. They grabbed the things, you know, twigs and things of the field, things, dried stuff, and they'd start their oven. They cooked, you know, they lived close to the ground, you know. They didn't just turn the ignition thing on their stove. It's a little different. They used this stuff to start their fires. They throw it in the oven. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? He says, oh, man, I think if the Lord could just speak these things into our hearts, you know, what a blessed people we are to receive them. What a blessed people we are to receive them. Worry is a huge distraction. Huge. Unbelievable. It's consuming. Who wins from that, you think? I think the enemy gets a pretty big yuck out of that. I don't much care for that. Do you like being laughed at? I don't like being laughed at. But the enemy, I think, gets a pretty big yuck out of that. I really do. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Man, I'm just consumed with the necessities. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He says, Dad knows that you need all this stuff. Dad sees all that. He knows that you need it. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Put our sights on that. Again, what's the focus? What's our thought? Be set free. Take a vacation from. You know? Let it go. Oh my, what a concept. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Isn't that true? Today will have its own issues, its own things to deal with. Worrying is going out into the future, going out into the future. And it is presuming and assuming a lot of things when you go out that far. You're presuming and assuming a lot of things. And that's always bad. We know what happens from that. And so we don't want to do that. We don't get lost out there. But we go out there and then we start borrowing on an account. We start borrowing, worrying about these things and creating an indebtedness to it. He says, be free. You don't owe it anything. God is really calling us, and this is what's fascinating. God is really calling us. Again, what are we talking about? Being set free. He's calling us to a carefree lifestyle. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? No way, man. I think he wants to just beat me down. You know, I'm oppressed and I got to just ride it out, you know? I mean, no way. That's not Dad. Dad wants to take care of you. You got to let him. And you got to be happy with what he takes care of you with. You know? You got to be grateful and thankful for what he gives you. A carefree lifestyle. His desire is that we would be totally dependent on him. Rely on him for everything we need. That's basically the simplistic view of this. Is that we would become like little kids. We'd just be dependent on our Father. Just trust him and let him have his way. Again, it kind of sets us free from ourselves. Let me read to you something out of 1 Peter. This is what Peter said regarding this. He says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And in this thought, with humility, check this out. In the whole context of this humility, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. For he cares for you. In humility, it brings me to a place of humility. It brings you to a place of humility. It brings us congregationally to a place of humility. When we just say, you know what, Lord? We're not going to strive. We just want to walk with you. We want to know you. We want to enjoy you. We want to have fellowship with you. We want you to continue to bless and minister and do a work in our lives. And you know what? We're not going to push it all or shove it all or make it all. We're just going to let you have your way. We're going to relax and enjoy the carefree lifestyle that you've called us to. You know, it's like red lights go off in my mind. Carefree, you know, carefree. You know, it just doesn't seem like it's right somehow, you know? Because it's part of our makeup is not to live that way. You know, we live in a stressful environment to some extent, you know, the way our lives are set up. And yet, even in the midst of radical stress, if we're resting and relaxing in the Lord, we can be carefree because we know who's ultimately in control. That poor person, man, scrambling, trying to crawl. I don't want to get stuck in an elevator either, but, you know, the poor person trying to scramble to get out of that elevator this last week, man, fell and died. You know, two people got out and one person crawled out and didn't make it and fell and died. It's like, wow, man, you gotta be kidding me. Just panic. And, you know, within 20 minutes or so, it wasn't that long, the fire department was there and was taking care of it all. It wasn't locally here. This was on the international news. So this whole idea, though, isn't it interesting that the carefree lifestyle is also associated with humility? Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. That I'm going to, in humility, cast my cares upon the Lord. I'm going to say, you know what? I don't know what I think I know. I'm not going to trust me. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk by faith in you and trust that you know what's best for my life. Philippians also, Paul addresses the same thing. So in humility, we're to cast our cares upon him. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Is that the things that we find ourselves meditating on that produce worry? If I'm really worked up about something, I'm not thinking about probably hardly any of those things. I'm thinking about only the problem or only the issue or only the thing and my massively limited resources to correct the problem anyway. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Be anxious for nothing. We've talked about this many times, but that word anxious means distracting cares. I know you're going to hear me say it over and over and over again over the years, but it'll get locked in your mind just like it's locked in my mind. Anxious, distracting cares. Be anxious for nothing. Don't allow distracting cares to set into your life. Worry is a slow death, really. Better to live carefree and enjoy life, the life that God has given us. Contemplate it, think through it, enjoy it, enjoy a carefree life.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today. I know as God's word goes out, it accomplishes the purposes for which he sent it. And I know that sometimes we hear a message like today's message and the Lord really starts to tug on our hearts. And if God's tugging on your heart and you've not been walking with the Lord and you want to get close with the Lord or you want to start a new life with Jesus, it's just a simple prayer away. You know, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, without the Lord, we're already perishing. We're perishing in our sin. We need a Savior. We need help. And, you know, I know you know that. I know you're hearing that. I know you're sensing that. And this is your opportunity to call out to the Lord and ask him to be your personal Lord and Savior. So I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a relationship, getting to know someone by introduction. And so this is an introduction. I want to introduce you to my friend Jesus, and he wants to make himself real to you. He loves you. He loves this world, and he loves you personally. He knows how many hairs you have on your head or how few you have. He knows what color they are. He knows the color of your eyes. He knows how tall you are. He knows everything about you. The Bible says that he loves you with a perfect love. And he wants you to believe on him and have everlasting life that you can spend all eternity with him. If you would, just pray this simple prayer of faith with me. Jesus, I want to open up my heart to you. Lord, I want to have everlasting life. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I humble myself before you, Lord. I know I need you. I know that I've fallen short and sinned in many ways, in many areas of my life. And so I ask that you would just come in and make my life new. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for everlasting life that now is mine in you. I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might walk with you and have life abundant. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus Christ.